Hello and welcome to the True Blue LA podcast, and what a crappy two games.
It's happy fun time on the True Blue LA podcast, talking about the NLCS in which everything has gone the Dodgers' way. All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
So we'll break down really a mess of two games, and there's just so much to complain about. I'm sure we will. And we'll look ahead and see if there's any hope we can find. Maybe, maybe not, probably. And we'll lift you up with that. There's a trivia question somewhere in there. But other than that, it's going to be kind of a quickie playoff episode. And we'll kick that off after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Where do you want to start?
Should we talk about the walk-off loss or the walk-off loss?
Yeah, exactly. The one that was 4-4 after the 4-4. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if a team that won 18 more games didn't have home field advantage, no, we're not doing that. But I will say this, incredibly frustrating two games. A lot of blame to go around, but like ultimately that doesn't matter a bunch. The fact is they're down 0-2. Mm-hmm. Just like they were last year, and they have to come back, and they have to play better, a lot better in many ways, and they have to make better decisions. That includes Dave Roberts and everybody.
I'm just going to nit at that a little bit, because I think I find this so frustrating. Quick sidebar. I do find this infinitely easier than last year because they won the World Series and I don't have to worry about that anymore. And people, I had fans of people. Oh no, you'll care as much. I care as much, but it does not hurt as much.
Right. There's not the emptiness of existential dread
of like Clayton Kershaw never winning a ring, you know, stuff like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
But what I wanted to say is you said they need to play a lot better. One of the reasons why sort of paradoxically it hurts so much is they don't. If they played just a little better, they still win both games.
Right.
No, that doesn't say they there's a lot of things they could play a whole lot better.
Sure.
But if they did need to play a whole lot better to win, it'd be like, oh, whatever, Team of Destiny Braves, or the Dodgers just don't have it, they're in the slump, not going to work our way. But because they're so close, and there's so many things they could have done. They could have, like, there's four throws, I think, that could have been better. Maybe they win.
One tag that wasn't held.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's baseball. The best hitters ever fail 60% of the time. I get that, you know, not every at-bat's going to be great. But there were some egregious at-bats. If one of those goes right with one runner in scoring position, win a game.
How many balls that were clearly outside out of the pitcher's hand?
The last one, the Trey Turner's second left bat, was just the like, oh my God.
No, you know what? I am going to swing at this and I'm going to miss. Like, and then of course, like, yeah, Trey Turner's had a terrible series, terrible postseason for the most part. And even he like almost got the lead in the ninth because he flew out to like the warning track. Mm-hmm. I just want to, so a lot of this I think has to do with, cost versus benefit, right? In the regular season, you're getting through a long season. You do things because, man, we just need to buy innings here and there. Like, you know, you're not going to necessarily push pedal to the metal every single game because you burn out, and that doesn't really work over six whole months. But in the postseason, every game's magnified, so of course you see a little more aggressive decision making in certain areas. And it's obviously magnified because, the cost is so big. So I think a lot of that has sort of defined the first two games, and it really goes back to Game 5 against the Giants. But I just want to preface, right? Like, it's important. There's never any one single reason why a team wins or loses. Like, we're sitting here recording Monday in the off day in between the Atlanta and Los Angeles portion, or first Atlanta portion and then Los Angeles portion of the series, where the Dodgers lost because Dave Roberts brought in Julio Urias to pitch in the eighth inning with a two-run lead. His game four starter, Julio Urias, and Urias gave up the lead, did not pitch well, and like that's important. So people are focusing on the Roberts call, which was bad in my opinion. We'll get to why, but also Urias didn't pitch well. Like, that was on him. But also none of it would have mattered if the Dodgers had just hit. Like they had that 5-15 stretch late April into early May, and it was like a cascading effect where they weren't hitting really at all. They had some injuries, of course, but that gave the pitching staff like no margin for error. And even like the slightest mistake would cost them. They lost all those extra inning games because like they'd use their leverage relievers to get through nine and then they didn't score. So it goes into extras. And at the time they had like rookie relievers a lot that they were using or, inexperienced, and they faltered. Obviously, like Alex Vesia, a lot of those pitchers, like Phil Bickford, grew into his role. But like early in the season, it was a struggle, man. And then, look, they played better. They won 106 games. It's not really a thing. However, like it seems like almost every game this postseason has been tight, especially the last three. Like literally the last three games were decided in the ninth inning. And that's hold on to your butts territory for like the entire game for three straight games. And then you also had Game 3 of the NLDS, which was 1-0. Four of the eight have been decided in the ninth inning for the Dodgers. So it's just like every single night is a super close game. And like any slight advantage or mistake either helps or costs you. So now it's all about coming up with like advantages on the margins, right? Like, and that's sort of where the Dodgers in some cases have succeeded. And in some cases, like in this series, have failed miserably. But also the Braves have capitalized too. So just off the bat, I'm generally fine with trying to use your best pitchers as often as possible, especially given the options in certain cases, right? Like we saw with the 2019 Nationals, they didn't really have much of a bullpen. So, like, they rode their starters. They used Patrick Corbin in relief.
That was a very key preface, and I'm sure we'll get to that.
With Scherzer, et cetera. And, like, in the NLDS, their top five, the Dodgers' top five starters, top five pitchers, Scherzer, Buehler, Urias, Jansen, and Trinan, they pitched 33 out of 44 innings. They just neutralized the Giants, which was a very good offense. They scored 10 runs in five games. So that was excellent. However, it came at a cost, right? So game five, we already talked about like the bullpen game for game five. It's not really a bullpen game. It's more because Urias was bulk. In game five, they used Knebel, Gratterall, Trinan, and Jansen and got a scoreless inning out of each. Now, the quibble here is in that game, on regular rest, you could have pitched Urias longer than four innings. He only threw 59 pitches. Now, that either means bringing him in the second inning, so he pitches like two through six, or leaving him in for the seventh in game five in that game. So you have right-handed batters, Wilmer Flores and Eva Longoria do up, and then the pitcher spot do up seventh, so it's a pinch hitter. I sort of get taking him out for Trinan there, but at the same time, you could also have had Trinan and Kenley Jansen combined for the final nine outs. Jansen was especially extra rested. Trinan was pitching for his third time in 4 days, so I kind of get why they limited him to an inning. But that led to this decision to bring in Max Scherzer to close it out in game. They pitched one inning each of those sort of high-end guys. And then Max Scherzer came in and closed out the series, and they won. And obviously, it's a winner-take-all. You have to, like, win today to get tomorrow. I completely understand that. But the cost came. After Game 5, it was like Scherzer's tentatively scheduled to go Game 1. We won't really know till the off day. The off day came. They sort of decided, Scherzer's in on the decision, too. He's never started on 1 day rest. He had started on 2 days rest back in that 2019 against the Dodgers. He pitched game two in relief. And then 3 days later, started in game four. Now, his rationale was if he was pushed to Sunday's game two against Atlanta, he'd be more on, a little more on full strength. Still 2 days rest after an inning, but a very high leverage inning. It's not the same as like a bullpen session. Also, it pushed the rest of the rotation back a day, which, on its face, like is sort of good because they use Walker Buehler on 3 days rest last round too. They sort of pushed the envelope with him. He would have been on 4 days rest in game two. Now he's on 6 days rest. So that's, it gets him sort of reset. Then Julio Urias, would be on 5 days rest in game four, unless they use him in between. That'd be weird. But so that meant the immediate cost was another bullpen game in game one of the NLCS. Now, in that game, the pitchers mostly fine, right? Knebel, he started for the second straight game. Look, everyday Knebel over here. He threw a wild pitch in the first inning that scored a run. Gonsolin could have been the bulk guy if he pitched well, but he didn't pitch well at all. Like, he only faced seven batters. Five of them hit rockets. He allowed a home run, but that was it. So it's still a 2-2 game into the ninth inning. But, like, even before then, like, lefty Justin Brule was added to the playoff roster. He was put in a good position to succeed. He faced all three. He retired all three batters he faced. They were all lefties. One was the pitcher Max Fried, but he also struck out Freddie Freeman. He got Eddie Rosario out too. The Braves have started Rosario and Freeman at the top of the order, two lefties in both games. It's allowed sort of the Dodgers to use lefties when they want to in that situation. That's usually Alex Vesia. Obviously, Justin Brule got one run at him in game one. Vesia has faced him in both games and done well. It also left a spot we'll talk about here in a second. But so that's sort of where we're at, right? That's the cost benefit. They lose game one. They only allowed three runs. Like, you can't really be mad at the pitching for that, right? They got sort of the best they could have given the situation. And ideally, you have a more rested starting staff going forward. But as we'll see soon, that's not the case, and or it wasn't the case last night, and it might not be the case in a couple days. But now another sort of cost benefit thing: the Dodgers are stealing more. They stole four bases last night. That matched a franchise postseason record. They've done it three other times. They've stolen six bases in the series. They're 11 for 11 in eight postseason games. Now, it's surprising. I mean, not surprising. They have, like, Trey Turner. Like, Trey Turner hasn't really run a ton. Mookie Betts has done the bulk of the stealing. But the Dodgers only stole 65 bases during the regular season. They only reached 11 steals in three of the six calendar months. So, Dave Roberts was asked before Game 2 when they stole four bases. He was asked about his Game 4 steal in the ALCS in 2004, and then sort of as it relates to, like, modern strategy and stuff. And I thought this quote was instructive. This is Roberts. In the postseason where things are more magnified, you just can't be afraid to fail. I just think that careful in the postseason doesn't play. So that kind of in the batter's box, defensively, on the bases, you understand understanding the game score and how the game needs to be played. But if you feel good, you've got to be all in. Now, I will say this before we get into some of the other decision-making. I don't think not being all in has been the problem for the Dodgers. It seems like in almost every case, they have full buy-in from the players. So it's not like Roberts going seat of his pants, right? Like, there's clearly like a plan involved here. And it seems like everyone's sort of pulling in the same direction. And that's mostly all you can ask. You just also have to, the players have to execute as well. But on the steals for a second, so Mookie Betts, he has four of the Dodgers' 11 stolen bases. Only three times has a Dodger stolen more bases in a single postseason. Can Jacob name the other three players?
I'll give it a shot after this.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Name the three players who have stolen more than
single postseason.
I wrote some names down. Let's give it a shot.
Yep.
Davey Lopes
is number one. In 1981, they added the extra division series that year. He stole 10 bases.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
I love the stolen base postseason question. It's so interesting because we've got an interesting tension of latter players having way more games, but stealing way less bases.
Except Lopes. Lopes is the all-time franchise leader in playoff steals. So,
19. I'll go with we just steal more in volume in the older days. Maury Wills.
So Maury Wills' most was in 1965 with three. Now, and obviously in fairness to him, he only played the World Series.
Yes,
so,
right.
You know,
I am going to try to go to that well one more time with Willie Davis.
Yep. Looking up, Willie Davis stole three in the 1965 World Series.
Can we just combine
I will say also
more Willie Davis, Maury Willie Davis. There we go.
Davey Lopes also stole four in the 1974 playoffs.
All right. So. Last name, I don't remember this, but I wanted a slightly more recent player to kind of tap into. So Rafael Furcal. Two maybe.
Let's see. Okay, his best is two in 2006.
Yeah, I was stretching the straws, but I wanted one more name. I missed two.
You know, it's a surprising name on here. He was not ahead of Betts, but just below him, who stole three bases in 2016. Fan favorite, Josh Reddick. first of all, he was on base enough to steal three times. So I'll tell you, Steve Sachs is another sort of go-to for this kind of stuff. 1988, he stole six bases in the postseason. Tied with Steve Sachs was Mookie Betts in 2020.
You worded this question very carefully. Well done.
I looked at it because I was like, well, Betts is in there. I have to make sure it's not three.
No,
others.
And what's funny, I thought, I'm like, did Betts do that last year? Let me read the question, and I misread it that time. Like, nope, he wants different players. All right.
So the reason this comes into play is because, so Lopes is number one all time for the Dodgers with 19 steals. Cody Bellinger is second with 12. He has three this year. He had four in 2018. He had three in 2019. So he gets his in bunches. But then Mookie Betts, who's been in like two postseasons so far, he has 10. He's third in all-time Dodger steals in the postseason.
All right. We're going to keep going. You've got this big list. So I'm going
to the cost stuff. A second cost for the Dodgers, not related to pitching per se, but all those steals they had, right? 11 for 11 in steals. Of those 11 stolen bases, only three have scored. Because the Dodgers can't buy a hit with runners on base. They're hitting 191. 305, 294 with runners in scoring position in the postseason. Now, the sort of good news is that they're averaging just over 10 plate appearances per game. That was right at where they were at during the regular season. When they had the second most plate appearances, they were just behind the Astros, who were like the best offense in baseball this year. They had 24 plate appearances in the first two games in the NLCS with runners in scoring position. They were 2 for 18. That's a problem. They could have had even more plate appearances, except Chris Taylor in the ninth inning of game one got caught in no man's land between second and third on a single to shallow right. It seems like on a single to shallow right, the team that decided to advance and not stop, it's worked out for them. But Chris Taylor rounded second. Decided, oh no, I don't think I'm going to make it, so he stopped. But Jock Peterson's bad bouncy throw was like basically right to second base, so Taylor was running back into where the ball was rather than if he kept going, he would have been safe, but he didn't necessarily know that.
And he said that he had a bad read. It felt like the read to me was not just that, oh, I'm not going to make it, but and I can make it back to second.
Right, exactly. Because
if he had read, you know, this wasn't a sort of the brain fart to me, at least it read not the brain fart of like hesitation for no reason. This was the I can make it back, and then Jock has a noodle arm,
and so that could have left two outs for Mookie Betts, who we've established is a decent player. I will note the Braves stole two bases in this series, both in game one, both scored. Another cost does come down to the pitching. So now the hope was Scherzer getting an extra day, he'd be more like Max Scherzer, more like full strength Max Scherzer. Scherzer was like, I don't know what I would be able to give you in game one. This was, I think, the day, before game one, because he wasn't starting. So he talked before game one. And he's like, it could be 60 pitches. It could be 100. I don't know. It could be all over. Like, there was so much unknown. So I get why they pushed him to Sunday. But what they got on Sunday was not necessarily full-strength Max Scherzer. It was oh no, I have a dead arm, Max Scherzer. And he said he felt like before the game, but it's not the thing, well, why did they start him then? It was pitchers kind of go through this, and like at a certain point, you know, it comes back. It just didn't really come back. That said, a limited Max Scherzer is still very good. He only allowed 2 runs. Of course, a rocket home run by Jock Peterson because it's Jocktober. And he left a tie game. But he was clearly gassed. They pulled him in the 5th inning with 1 out, just like in the wild card game. And at the time, you're like, wow, okay, this is weird.
And he's going to be angry again.
Yeah, exactly. The general consensus is Max Scherzer is going to murder Dave Roberts when he comes to that. But Scherzer was like nodding his head. He's like, yep, I'm done. You know, like, so at the time, it's like clearly, again, player buy-in. He knows what the case is. He said after the game, he told him, like, look, I'm not sure what I can give you. Just if something happens, you know, whatever. But also, he knew, like, that for the upcoming run of lefties, he went right to the 18 batter mark. So he had Rosario and Freeman due up. He's like, Vessi was the better choice, and he got out of it. We'll note Scherzer, that was his 4th game in the last 12 days. Wild card game, game 3, game 5 relief, and then this. So he was pitching like it now. So that's that, right? So now the Dodgers have to like fill those innings. And after all that, you know, the can't buy a hit with in runner scoring position. I think they were 0-for-8 at the point during the game. In the 7th inning, they sent 8 batters to the plate. 1 batter hit put the ball in play. It was Chris Taylor with a sort of a bloop single to shallow center. This was following a couple walks and a hit by pitch. That scored 2 runs, so they're up 4-2. The second hit with runners in scoring position for the Dodgers. So at this point, you have 9 outs to get. Blake Treinen comes in to pitch the game in the 7th. Completely, like, you know, sort of expected decision. Got to get this win. Bring in arguably our best reliever. At worst, our second best reliever. He's also pitching his 5th game in 7 days. So if he's only limited to 1 inning, you could argue that with the bottom of the Braves' order due up in the 7th, it was 7-8-9. At this point, 9 wasn't the pitcher. It was Guillermo Heredia in center field, who also badly misplayed the ball by Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor was given a double on the play. Maybe it was a single. And I mean, he didn't really touch the ball, so he can't really do it. But it was a rough play in center. But anyway, you have 3 competent hitters. I forget if Heredia is right-handed or not, but the top 2 are right-handed. So you could argue Bruiser Gratterall, that's a good spot for him, and then have Treinen go for the 8th because he doesn't really have discernible splits. He's very good against everyone. And, like, if you want someone to face, like, especially Freddie Freeman, Blake Treinen is one of the guys you'd be like, yes, I would like him to pitch in a big spot. Now, so I get it. Again, if Treinen's only limited to 1 inning, maybe a better spot would have been for the 8th and Gratterall on the 7th. But given how he entered the game in a double switch, it's clear they thought about using Treinen for more than 1 inning. Now, Treinen was also the pitcher the Dodgers used most in multiple inning situations. 13 times in the regular season, twice this postseason, never got to 2 full innings, but he's a guy who can get you an out or 2 in the 2nd inning. And then you also have Kenley Jansen behind him. They could have done the thing where, like, you know, maybe Treinen gets 4 outs, Jansen gets 5, something like that. I don't know. But that's sort of where we're at right here. Now, Treinen pitched a scoreless 7th on 9 pitches. So if there's a scenario, even on his 5th game in 7 days, double switched into the game, his spot didn't come up in the top of the 8th. If there's a scenario for Treinen to pitch a 2nd inning with so few pitches, like, this was it, I think. He did not get the 8th. The 2 lefties are up, and then switch hitter Albies, who kills lefties. They already used Vessia. Justin Brule was available. I mean, in fairness, Justin Brule, who did well in game 1, I get why they didn't use Justin Brule here, because it's Justin Brule. You know, but they went with Urias. It's just weird. So this is 3 days after he pitched, just like Max Scherzer, right? Like Max Scherzer pitched one inning on his sort of throw day. Now Urias was rested in game five when he pitched four innings and 59 pitches, but this is 3 days after, so he has 2 days rest. He didn't do a between starts bullpen, so they sort of planned this out. Now, the cost, though, is Urias is still going to be the game four starter, Robert said after the game, meaning he'll be on 2 days rest that Max Scherzer was on earlier in this game. So you have a clear picture of what a gassed pitcher looks like after this kind of a situation. So, now, I will say this, like, I get it. Like, he's using what Robert's using, what he thought was his best option there. You could argue that, Trinan continuing to pitch, Gratterall earlier, Trinan in the eighth, Jansen in the ninth would be better. But once they use Trinan.
Yeah, I'm going to do a little more. Trying to understand the other side of the argument, which is that they used both times Urias has pitched prior to this were limited pitch counts, so it's 75 and less than that. It almost seems as if this is very similar to how they used him last postseason to great success. Yeah. So maybe they're just viewing him as like, you know what, he's never like he's going to get twice through the lineup, even on his starts, and we're going to piggyback from there. I don't know that, but I can kind of see where that's going, and that way we can use him a little bit more aggressively in spots like this, especially through a run of the lefties. I can see the argument that you really did think he was the best option at that spot, not a perfect option. You can't make guarantees like that.
Sure.
I think the reason why I get so frustrated by games that get where the manager gets a lot of blame, sometimes it's because I don't think he deserves it, but a lot of times it's that the discourse is so results oriented. And so I'm trying to like, and what I try to do when that occurs is I just flip it. What happened if Urias had looked like game seven of last year's NLCS or game six of the World Series? And the funny thing is like, I think most of the people viscerally angry right now are thrilled. They're talking about how, what a gamer Julio is, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think there would be enough people going like, that's great, but what does game four look like now? And the big, I was texting with a friend and he brought up rightfully is the big difference between yesterday and game seven of the NLCS and game two, six of the World Series is those were do or die games. Those were done. Like you didn't really like, you have a new series, but you have some time to kind of get things slated. You have some games to do that. Now you have the middle of this games that you have to win that are potentially messed up. And again, the last thing I'll say is, yes, I understand. And this is where I do think the, like, look what happened with Max today. I like, they are different pitchers, right? Julio's 10 years younger. He has way more experience doing this.
So they're also not going to ride Urias for 100 pitches like they would with Scherzer. So I get that
completely. Yeah, and I think you're going to get to the two things for me, on the other hand, is the three things, I guess. One, yes, he probably can handle this better than Scherzer can, and he's not going to. They're not going to ask, like you said, 100 pitches of him. But it's still going to have an effect, and it could be a. Could be a pronounced effect. And I know you're going to talk about the next two things, but I'll mention them anyways. Two, the Dodgers had option. They had Knebel was in the pen. Yes, he had been used a little bit, but he's a reliever. He can do that. Bickford has been ridden in high leverage situations most of the year and has looked fine. Like you had. You had Trinan again for the if. You had so many options. But to me, the biggest thing is one thing that that has been frustrating, but you've got to give credit to the Dodgers up to this point, is how much they were valuing Cody Bellinger's defense at the sake of offense and making sure that they had really good, as much as possible, great outfield defense and a good option at first, and they just said, oh, we really need not suppress a run, let's put Steven Souza in right, move Mookie to center, and leave AJ Pollock in left. And it's like, what? And that's very frustrating, obviously.
And before I get into like exactly what happened with Urias, I will say that I similarly frustrated in that I find a lot of the arguments, especially against bullpen games, are mostly aesthetic, and they're kind of annoying. You know, I hate bullpen games, to be honest. Like, I don't necessarily mind using the opener if it's like for a limited pitcher, right? I don't consider Urias necessarily a limited pitcher now, you know, like he's shown like a full-fledged starter. But over the course of the regular season, I don't want to watch a bunch of bullpen games. You know what I mean? Like, that I get the frustration with that, but at the same time, like I think it's a lot of hand wringing over not a lot. So it's just a matter of like, I don't know. It seems weird. Like I view them mostly as like, or like using pitchers in different spots. Like, again, trying to gain a marginal advantage. And it's like you said, it's when you don't have other options and they have other options. You mentioned it. My brother texted me like they're using their starter or something like what I forgot how he worded it, but it was like, can't believe they're bringing in their starter. And I said, what are you talking about? They're not bringing in Knebel. And so I thought that was funny. But yeah. So, and the other argument I don't buy is that like, it's very lazy. You know, that the Dodgers are like messing with Julio Urias' psyche by bringing him in relief. Like, if there's anyone who's shown he's like comfortable in any role, it's Urias. Like, you saw exactly what he did last postseason. Also, it's like I said, it's not, they're not doing this willy nilly. Andy McCullough had a great breakdown in The Athletic of how they sort of came to the game five decision to go openers first before Urias. They went, like, it was like, front office brought it to Roberts, and they're like, that's interesting. They talked to, like, Knebel, Urias, Gratterall, all those guys. And then they went to, like, some of the offensive players, like, what do you think about this? Everyone's like, we're on board. Let's do it, right? They didn't just go, you know what? We're going to do this. Here's your role. Deal with it, right? I think, I don't know, it's just weird. Like, some of the arguments are just dumb. They're honestly dumb. And, like, it's annoying.
And it also really kind of looked like they went to Oral.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw his Twitter stream, but
yeah,
he was on it, fighting the trolls.
Yeah, exactly. The real risk, I think David Young in our on True Blue LA has brought this up a lot, and I agree with him, is that when you use a bullpen game, or just, you know, more relievers than say normal, the risk is one or more of them could have an off night. Because you're asking a lot of pitchers to do a lot of stuff, even in shortened role. And Urias had an off night. Like, that's it. Like, you know, like you said, if it had gone well, like, there's a lot of the criticism, like, just melts away, right? It's kind of amazing how that happens. Also, we'll get to this in a second, but if the Dodgers just hit, like, this goes away because it doesn't really, well, they wouldn't have used Urias because maybe they had a bigger lead. But so how it went down. Single by Rosario. He ended up having four hits. He got to second, and then a single to shallow right field scored him. But was because, like you mentioned, to get Trinan into the game, double switch was Gavin Lux, who started in center, was double switched out. Mookie Betts moved from right to center. And then in right field was Steven Souza Jr., who's, I went back and watched it, had bounced twice from very shallow right field. And before getting to the plate, and they still almost got Rosario, who had a great slide to get into home plate. And that made it 4-3. And then Austin Riley, who had the game one walk off, and he also homered, tied the game with a double off the wall off Urias. So it's 4-4 going into the ninth. And then, so this is, they bring in Gratterall now in a tie game. Like, so they're obviously, hey, you know what? Like, that's the thing I don't get too, right? So it's the ninth inning. It's the old thing. Why are you saving your closer for a lead that doesn't come? You still have Kenley Jansen. The only way this game can continue is if you hold the Braves scoreless in the ninth. So why do you not put Jansen in to make sure it gets to the 10th, right? Like, not that, again, not that it's a given, but he's your best option at that point, and they didn't go to him. So that's another sort of demerit in my eyes.
Yeah, anyway. I guess I didn't mind that as much, just viewing it as a... Yeah. I actually minded them taking Gratterall out. Not because, Gratterall looked great. It was more that, you're really only... You're going to, in terms of psyche, the whole, I'm going to use my closer for a batter and then call upon him to rest and then get back up. That seemed not worth it
to me. Also, if we're getting down to that level, it's putting Jansen in, the position he hates the most, yep, with a runner on second. I'm surprised he didn't balk him over to third. No, I'm not, because obviously...
Yeah, I was purely tied, between... to me, you're committing to the plan of this run for Gratterall. You're going to need to pitch a 10th to win this game. Yeah. And you like Kenley better. If you like the matchups, I say go for it. I viewed that as the more likely case than, we didn't like, we're waiting to use him in a save. To me, they've shown that they're willing to use Kenley kind of whenever they think the matchup's the best. So
you're right, because you know what? I'll give you that, because it was bottom of the order. The same situation, I said Gratterall should have been brought in the 7th. So I completely get that, and I agree.
Now, that's it. My heart was still pounding. Like, oh, no. I texted a Braves friend of mine and said, this is the guy you're going to do the walk-off on. And I was kind of right.
He threw one pitch, and it was Eddie Rosario again, 4-hit night. He ripped a single, and that's the other thing. Positioning has been key at times in the series. Corey Seager's right there. They shifted perfectly. It was written right to him, but it was also 1,000 miles an hour. I forget what the exact number was, but it just went right by him.
980, I think. You're a little over.
Yeah, you know what? We're not here to get into exact numbers, except that the Braves have had 8 plate appearances with runners in scoring position in the series. They're 3-for-8, including both walk-off hits. The Dodgers, who have 24 plate appearances, are 2-for-18. I generally don't like the reductive analysis of team isn't scoring, team isn't hitting well, runners in scoring position, but that's also kind of how runs work sometimes, also home runs and things like that. But it really comes down to they just got to hit, man. At some point, don't make it where every single game is decided in the 9th. Just go out and hit the crap out of the ball. But we talked about this before we recorded. They're down 2-0, just like last year. If they come out and they score 11 runs in the first inning of Game 3, I'm walking out of the stadium. I guarantee you that. But yeah, that's kind of it. Just wanted to sort of go into that. Dodgers are down 0-2. The next 2 games, possibly 3, we have to say that, are at Dodger Stadium. We'll see how that goes. We'll record at some point after the Dodger Stadium games. Who knows what we'll be talking about at that point.
Yeah, we Game 3, we're going to have all y'all who don't like the weird sort of Tampa Bay Rays-esque games that have been played.
Game 5.
Saying game 3 is going to be... I'm saying for those who don't you get 2 starters who are not going to get taken out prematurely unless they're actually performing bad in Game 3. But then you say Game 5, I'm not like... I think it
you
is...
You can see a scenario where they
distinct
push
possibility
Urias.
Where Urias goes on Game 5. I'm not
it's
saying
fair.
That will case that will be the case, but they certainly could. Now... I will say this. The good news is that if the Dodgers can win a series against the Braves at home, the regular season, you would expect them to do that. Game 6 and 7, you've got Max Scherzer,
Bueller.
Walker Bueller, regular rest, good to go.
5 days rest for Scherzer.
Yeah. And so you got to it feels weird, but you almost feel like, even though the Dodgers have to win an extra game, that almost feels like maybe a coin flip if the Dodgers' offense resembles anything close to what we expect. And, at that point it won't. But who knows?
Yeah. Also, we didn't even mention Will Smith. The pitcher got the better of Will Smith, the hitter, in Game 2. He struck him out. So exciting to see further matchups of Will Smith versus Will Smith. But yeah, that's kind of it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for commiserating. And we'll talk to you later this week.